A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese, oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at schwabious.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Oh, already? We're already, it's the beer booty clapping already. We haven't even got started. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us today, and welcome and thank you to all of our new subscribers. You guys are awesome, and the YouTube is growing exponentially. I'm super excited about it. You might have seen me out in the other chats trying to get more involved and show some love to the other streamers. And yes, you can donate $7,000 on our website. It's the Hasbara Post fund. So if you guys need a piece of Hasbara Post, please head over onto our website at ddgeopolitics.com. And you'll see a special button just for $7,000. But also at our shop, or our website is our shop, where you guys can grab some merch. I pinned the link in the YouTube comments. You guys can give us suggestions for more merch. We have the Russian administration stylized as GTA and a bunch of amazing original artwork, free shipping anywhere in the world, no taxes, no tariffs, etc., etc. Chris, how are you?
I'm great. I'm
tell.
It feels good to be on the kill list.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. Obviously, Chris is final. We're finally made it, Mom. We finally made it. Also, guys, make sure you follow our large account on Twitter. I'm doing my annual autistic church posting, where I post videos of my favorite churches from around the world. It's like my favorite thing ever. But before we get started, and also I keep on talking about this book. You guys, Americans especially, need to read this book, Who Are We by Samuel P. Huntington. I think it's very enlightening. It's kind of blackpilling me a little bit more, though. I did want to talk about, before we talk about real world stuff,
Samuel P. Huntington, I love him. Oh my god, what?
I love Huntington.
Oh my God.
Clash of Civilizations? You don't like it?
I think that his perspective, as I understood it in my IR and political science classes, was very much, okay, the world's divided, and therefore, America, we need another American century. And it was very much, okay, you know, on that side of the spectrum, you know, much more about US hegemony being a force for good. Sort of liberal humanitarianism.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't agree with them, but I find it incredibly insightful. Sure.
Very insightful, of course. Yeah. He's like a godfather to a lot of the people that are currently the talking heads in the think tanks.
Exactly. Academic. Which is why you guys should read it. And also, sure, before we get into like real life, I want to ask you and our viewers, have you been paying attention? And this is the only, I'm going to just tell you the only reason why I'm bringing it up on this show, but have you been paying attention at all to the Candace Owens streamer drama that moves from sort of like there's Milo involvement and Nick involvement and their little bit of Tim Pool involvement? Well, today I read something, and this is why I'm bringing it up on our show, from an American channel, a right-wing news channel, which I think is pretty decent. But it said Candace Owens yesterday ordered, and I don't watch Candace's stream, so correct this if we're wrong. But Candace Owens yesterday also ordered her followers to harass Ukrainian refugees in the United States, as she now believes they are operating on behalf of Macron. She particularly wants refugees in Tennessee targeted. The channel then added, this gives more credence to the idea that her crusade is being influenced by Russia. Okay. Let me really quickly, guys. If I have any fans that are viewers that overlap with Candace, please do not harass any Ukrainian refugees or anybody for that matter, especially on behalf of a streamer. And as far as I know, and I'm sure Chris will probably buttress this up, is that Russia is not influencing Candace Owens.
Niet.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to bring it up. It's like this very, like, I don't know that, like, first of all, especially in the world of streamers, Russia is like a year or two behind, like, the cutting edge of streamers. So there may not even be on to Candace yet, but I promise you, this is not a Russian op. It's not, but it's funny, but that's the only reason why I bring it up. And I guess, maybe they'll try to intertwine it more. Remember, I mean, she did say at one point the reason why there's no peace in Ukraine is because of like me or something, or like something about her was like stopping peace in Ukraine. It's lunacy. But I guess I just want to reassure people that Candace is probably not being paid by Russia, and do not harass or target Ukrainian refugees, please. My God, like, what the hell? I can't believe this needs to even be said. Also, I thought this was amazing. Marco Rubio thinks that, I know that Calibri was a woke font, and I'm not a Times New Roman kind of girl. I mean, I don't know about you, Chris, but I am not a Times New Roman. It's stuffy. It's not nice to read. It's just, I don't like it.
I'm 100% Times New Roman. It's just my academic background. There's no other font that I like. Every other font like hurts my eyes. So Times New Roman all the way. But I did find it interesting that Calibri is being listed as a woke font.
Right. I would have thought Helvetica would have been the woke font, not or Ariel. Not Calibri. Like, I'm very, Ariel is the best from Nepal. You do not like Comic Sans. If you are a Comic Sans enjoyer, please remove yourself from this channel.
It's allowed.
Seriously. All right. Well, before we get to Chris's award-winning debut on the Meredith kill list, we'll talk about, I told you guys last time when Chris was absent that I would go over the Putin in India, which was a big deal. So big Putin deal. Visited India for a two-day visit to New Delhi, his first trip since the SMO, the beginning of the SMO. And it coincided with the 23rd India-Russia annual summit. Obviously, he was invited by Modi, and they also celebrated 25 years of the India-Russia strategic partnership. This was a big deal. They made it into a big deal. The visit occurred against a turbulent geopolitical backdrop. Putin arrived fresh off rejecting a U.S.-proposed Ukraine peace plan. I do have some clips from his visit. I really want to get your insight on this trip, Chris, and if there's any reaction inside of Russia. It seems the Indians are not happy with Trump. Here's what Putin had to say about their allyship.
It's very simple. To achieve freedom, we must use lawful means only. Any actions involving criminal methods or those harming people cannot be supported. This has been decided long ago. As you have correctly noted, Russia has repeatedly faced acts of extreme terrorism throughout its recent history. In these matters, India is our full ally, and we completely support India's fight against terrorism. Well, you have already asked me to characterize other leaders of other countries. I do not think it is very polite. You know, now we're working with Prime Minister of India, His Excellency Narendra Modi. Indeed, we have very trustworthy and friendly relations. He is a very reliable person. In that sense, I'm speaking very sincerely. India got lucky. He lives India. I'm talking to him and I know him. I hope he won't be cross with me. I'm just saying what I'm seeing and what I'm thinking. It is very pleasant to me to talk to such person, a person of integrity, you know.
What was the news like in Russia on Putin's trip to India?
Listen, overall, you know, Russia has a longstanding relationship going back to the Soviet Union with India, longstanding ties, historical ties. And I think that the trip is highlighting the fact, going back to that famous picture that we saw from the SCO just a few months ago of Putin, Modi, and Xi, that India remains an important partner and a strategic player for Russia. And also, there's a kind of balancing act going on, Russia, India, China, Pakistan, and all four actually are kind of connected in ways and very interesting dynamics. So there's a sort of balancing act. Of course, India is a major importer of Russian petroleum products, which has been targeted by the Trump administration. I think that there's a lot of movement and talk about what this means overall for some interesting ideas and novel ideas that have been floated, including bringing Indian workers into Russia, which has been, you know, received positively and negatively, depending on who you ask. But overall, I think that there is great movement in understanding that Russia is deepening its ties in India. RT India opened up.
Yep, big deal.
I mean, there's no more an RT America, but there's an RT India now. So just to show you the power and the force, I think that Russia is going to have a major role to play in shaping India in the years to come, especially in the economy, in information war, in military technology, which has been an ongoing level, you know, area of cooperation as India develops its domestic military production. So I think that there's a lot to be said here. Ultimately, there's a broader regional situation that has to be addressed vis-a-vis India, China, Pakistan. And we'll see if Russia can play a constructive role, which I believe it can, in trying to foster peace and stability in South Asia, especially as the region is further engulfed on both sides, both Cambodia, Thailand fighting, and also Iran and the various issues there, as well as America trying to take Central Asia now, the move, the great game, you know, 2.0. as the Trump administration tries to enter that area again. So we'll see. But I think overall, net positive and well-received by Russians and I think by many people around the world.
I agree. And I think that this also kind of adds to the line drawing. Here's Putin also on Central Asia.
And Afghanistan is not an exception, considering that for decades, this country has been embroiled in a civil war. It's just horrible. But the Taliban clearly controls the situation in Afghanistan, and this is evident. Here's what needs to be said first, and you have to accept it because it's reality. Secondly, what's important to note takes many actions to combat terrorism and various terrorist organizations, including ISIL and others like them. This we also know very well. Afghan authorities have significantly reduced opium production in their country and are actively addressing drug threats from within its borders. There are several other important issues here. The main point is that in order to influence events happening in the country, you must stay in contact with the current leadership there. Exactly what we are doing.
This gave me a vibe that he was kind of calling out the United States a little bit.
100%.
Call back to them. That sort of, oh, you know, opium production is at an all-time low. In order to, you know, kind of work with a government, you have to communicate with them, which Trump refuses to do. He wants to steal their bases. So I kind of wanted to point that out as well, because we will have a Latin American update later on in the show. But I kind of got that vibe from it. That he was kind of like, this is kind of the right way to go in Afghanistan. And now we have Afghanistan, tensions with Afghanistan and Pakistan are touch and go. I think they flared up last week before our Sunday show. And so that's another conflict that Trump has taken credit for ending. If clearly not, as Lavrov said, he refuses to address the underlying issues. But then on the other hand, with Pakistan is a dual ally of the United States and China. So how does this kind of work? It kind of is a I'm really not a fan of Pakistan, the state, not the people. The people are fine. The state. So I, they're very they're like a slippery eel. So what how does that like factor into all of this?
Well, the main issue is the Pakistani intelligence service, which, of course, has for a long time been under the, you know, sort of control of the U.S. or at least openly cooperating with the U.S. and basically doing the U.S.'s dirty deeds in the region, including, of course, supporting and creating the Mujahideen, then, of course, supporting the Taliban, then fighting against the Taliban, then doing this and that.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Of course, we remember that supposedly Bin Laden was found in a safe house outside of Islamabad. And was there all along for some, nobody knew except somebody who, you know, finally his doctor knew. And then the taxi driver, who knows? The whole story is convoluted and crazy. But the main thing is that Pakistan has a longstanding deep intelligence tie to the U.S. and also to the Gulf states, to a lot of the regional network, has also its own domestic issues with the Pakistani Taliban, which has been influenced from outside actors. Very interesting. These countries have dual, you know, sort of playing both sides.
Which is a cool thing.
Then, of course, you have the Balochistan issue, which Pakistan and Iran embroiled them to. And they also almost went to war, if you remember, just a few years ago. Then we have Afghanistan reaching out to India, trying to bridge their diplomatic relations over Pakistan. Pakistan freaking out, basically saying, you know, and there have been border skirmishes. We've talked about them over the past few months. There have been border skirmishes and fighting. But it should be said that the Taliban has been trying to rebrand itself as a responsible, stable state actor and trying to sort of ingratiate itself, at least with the regional powers first, China, Russia. Russia has not openly recognized the Taliban government as a legitimate government, the first one to do so diplomatically. I think China will follow suit soon because there's trillions of dollars of business and wealth in Afghanistan. The Taliban knows that it needs cash. It's under heavy sanctions still. It's not allowed to access its foreign funds that are locked in from the previous Afghan government. And of course, the jab at opium production, which of course soared to new heights. Very interesting if we were to put it on a chart with a timeline. Opium production soars once the U.S. gets in there. Meanwhile, what's soaring in the U.S.? The profits of some pharmaceutical companies. Pfizer, right? Yeah. So Pfizer, the Sackler family, right? They're making enormous profits. It's going sky high. We have the opioid epidemic. Then U.S. leaves Afghanistan and slowly opiates disappear and fentanyl replaces them. Very interesting. You know, you got to have a replacement there. So I just want people to understand that as we know, and even many have commented on this, the United States government was openly supporting opium production and protecting opium fields, poppy fields, from destruction, which the Taliban was radically against. So once again, drugs, CIA, intelligence, military, you know, the dark side of empire, or maybe the only side of empire, really. It's the only side that ever existed and ever will. So in the broad scheme, I think that it's important to understand that Afghanistan will play a major role. And Pakistan and its intelligence service will continue to try to bridge, and it will try to be like Turkey. It has a similar policy to Turkey. Let's play both sides. That's why Imran Khan, let's not forget Imran Khan. That's why Imran Khan eventually was brought down, because he wanted to go more multipolar. He wanted to go more towards the Russia-China camp and the, you know, ruling elite. You know, once you overstep your boundaries with the military, they bring you down. And that's what they did to him. So keep a watch on that.
I know. And you've been traveling a lot lately and not that online. Maybe the viewers can also chime in. I've been noticing a lot of Bachabazi videos lately.
Oh, yeah. They're coming back again. They're back again.
And I'm like, oh, you know me, curious. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, first of all, let me be clear. The degeneracy was occurring under when the Taliban wasn't in power. That's when Bachabazi was at its height. I mean, I have friends that say they would hear the little boys screaming and they were told, you know, you just got to deal with it and look the other way.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and they, you know, and they, then people, are, you know, it's so degenerate over there. The poppy fields and the Bachabazi. I'm like, you guys have fentanyl manufacturing here and little boys and drag shows and people are purchasing children for adoption.
Yeah.
It's like, it's insane. So I did notice a lot of weird, like Bachabazi sort of videos that are clearly old. A lot of them are in Pakistan and they're saying like, oh, it's Afghanistan. Oh, it's the Taliban. It's like this old hat again. Like we're doing this again.
Oh yeah. It's back again. It's back. Kite runner type stuff. Remember all these stories, you know, all these narratives that were in the global war on terror. They're back again. They're back. And they're used. You see how they're used strategically when alliances start shifting or some policy change happens, boom, roll it out. Soft power, you know.
Speaking of old canards or rumors that seem to never die, here is Putin feels the need to address the USSR.
Интеграция чего? Советского Союза?
Of the Soviet Union.
Нет, нет, конечно, это просто исключено.
Reintegration of what? Of the Soviet Union. No, of course not. That's simply not on the table. We do not have such a goal and it won't make any sense. There is also a question of rationality. It does not make sense in current circumstances because it would critically change the national and religious composition of the Russian Federation. It does not make sense to them. You know why? Because they still do not want to listen to what I'm saying. They want to listen to themselves only, or they want to comment on what I'm saying the way they like it.
Write a lot about saying that you want to build the empire back.
Да, они это делают для того, чтобы напугать свое население. Они злоупотребляют своим.
Yes, they do that in order to scare their population. They abuse their monopoly in the global media. It is called manipulation of the public opinion, and the goal is to justify their aggressive policy towards Russia. I don't see another goal.
Right.
Sorry to disappoint you, viewers, and maybe Chris, but the USSR is not coming back. Shucks.
Lavrov. I got. You know, it's the same brand. You know.
Did you get a different color? Did you get the same? Oh, that's yours.
This one is a special one. It's Fight for Russia, you know? So it's an RT one.
We could go around like twinsies. We'll be like thing one and thing two. Oh, so cute. Well, trip wouldn't be complete without Indian dramatics. Little bit of Bollywood cartoonage. I thought this was adorable and hilarious. Guys, pay attention to this cartoon the Indians made. You really have to love it.
हम नहीं तोड़ेंगे मुश्किलें आए मगर तेरा साथ ना छोड़ेंगे अरे तेरा हाथ तेरा हाथ कभी भी
Mexican, maybe if there are any the Indians in the chat, they could tell us what the song was about. But I had to play it because Trump was was pumping gasoline and Modi kissed Putin's hand. I love that. Oh,
S400s there. S400s, they made an appearance.
It was so cute. I loved that. That was a nice thing. Anyway, from that to, I guess, some bad news. Terrorist attacks all over the, well, I think they're terror attacks. So the first things first, I don't have a lot of information, so hopefully you can fill our viewers in, but we do have a clip. Ukrainians seized another tanker. Here's a clip of that. What are we doing here?
Once again, another attack in the Black Sea. I think actually this was in the Sea of Azov, which is a little bit further up. And of course, extremely dangerous escalation. Of course, we already have news in the past week or so. Erdogan has said of Turkey, President Erdogan has said, if this continues, it's going to threaten and jeopardize the entire stability of the Black Sea region, which is, you know, kind of escalatory remarks. And, you know, I just got back from Crimea. Mm-hmm. When I crossed over the Kerch Bridge, I finally had the chance to cross over the Kerch Bridge twice. When I crossed over, the place looks more fortified than D-Day. There are Czech hedgehogs on land and in the water, rows and rows deep to prevent these things from hitting the bridge, hitting other boats. They put barges out. They have, one of the most amazing things was, they have movable Panzer systems on rails. It's like rail guns from World War I and World War II, which I was obsessed as a kid because I was that, you know, crazy. They're moving on the trains as well. Anti-drone technology, everything. So just to show you how serious it is to the infrastructure, to the economy, to so many other things, the problem is, these pose an enormous threat to the economic stability in the region and trade, open trade in international waters. So there's not much information. I saw the video as well when it was released.
I forget what flag it was under. It wasn't the Russian flag. It was an African flag, I think.
I think so. But it was being targeted as a sort of Russian, doing something with Russia, obviously. So that's what they targeted for. But the problem is, this is going to warrant a huge response by Russia as well. And just think about and this is what I love. Those Greens and environmentalists who are all fawning over Ukraine, think about the ecological damage that this does. These tankers go down filled with, you know, hundreds of thousands of gallons, you know, or liters worth of fuel. The environmental devastation from chemicals, who knows what it was carrying as cargo. I just want people to know this is an extremely dangerous game that Ukraine is playing. They've also, of course, reached agreements. We talked about this on our Greek episode when I was abroad, right, in Brazil. We talked about the fact that Ukraine has reached an agreement with Greece to build, to help produce these drone assets. It's a very, very serious escalation. And I think the response will be proportional to Ukrainian vessels or to Ukrainian industries in the coming hours or days.
Well, the terror attacks do continue. Now, this one's a little bit more serious. I do not believe the video is graphic, but I'll warn you anyway, because it is obviously violent. We're still getting details of it. Maybe the producer or can feed us some more information. As we were going live, an attack was occurring at a market in St. Petersburg. Here's a video of that. It's pretty serious. Thank you. when I went live, I had heard that one person had passed and there were multiple injuries. I'm not sure if you have any updates from local news. There's also a Ukrainian Orthodox church is under attack inside of Ukraine. There was another attack on a high rise. Vorozhne, what is that, where it was? And so there's a lot of things happening right now. Things are very kinetic. What is there any news locally in Russia about the...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Attack on Peter on the market or anything like that. And just so you guys know, these markets are incredibly popular during Christmas season. It is Christmas season in Russia. Obviously, they celebrate Orthodox Christmas. And so they're in the midst of their holiday season as well.
So there's no talk at this point yet about an attack per se. We're being very careful to understand exactly. This is a very fluid and dynamic situation. And they're trying to be responsible with the media and what's coming out. All we know is that there's been a massive fire at this Christmas market. By the way, I visited that Christmas market. I was just in St. Petersburg just a few weeks ago. So beautiful, highly decorated, lots of young people, families. So of course, it's a serious you know, emergency. And the question, of course, everyone's asking is: was this a terrorist attack? Was it an accident? Was it an explosive? Did somebody, you know, leave a cigarette? Was it electrical? What happened? So I think that we're going to have to wait for the investigation. A little bit more. But of course, it's an extremely traumatizing event, and the images are absolutely horrific. Our condolences to the families of those who've passed. And of course, you know, our best wishes to everyone so that they're safe in the midst of this horrible event.
Yeah. And I think that it'll start getting worse and more desperate. They always do this, it seems, especially in the wintertime when things are kind of less kinetic on the war front and they kind of move out into their other options. And they're also getting desperate. They also have a new deal with the Czechs for another type of weapon. So we'll probably see that soon. So it doesn't look like this is going to end anytime soon. I was going to put a poll in the YouTube and I forgot to, but I think that Zelensky has said he might host elections within the next 90 days. And then Trump gave him until, was it Christmas or the new year? What's going on with the peace update?
So Trump has given Zelensky a firm timeline of a peace by Christmas. He wants to it's kind of funny. He wants to basically do his World War I Christmas truce. He wants to be able to say that on Christmas, he's gotten peace in Eastern Europe. Not going to happen. I'm sorry. I just want to let everyone know. I don't predict it. If it happens, I mean, people should bet on it. They're going to be so rich. But I don't think it's going to happen. A lot of stuff is moving. As you said, there's a lot of kinetic action taking place across. I mean, I was just in Crimea and there were drones flying. There were drone alerts. I mean, things are up. We're going to have some videos from there as well, from some recent attacks on civilian infrastructure. But I think that Zelensky now has tried to acquiesce to Trump and to please him, basically saying, okay, I will hold elections within the next 90 days if you can give us security guarantees.
Right. And what are those? Can you elaborate on what those are? Because I think
the security guarantees, once again, are a combination of the presence of European/NATO troops within Ukrainian territory and the possibility of some formal, basically Article 5 type relationship with the United States or other European partners to be able to protect Ukraine should it be attacked once more. But once again, this is happening in a vacuum. This cannot be agreed upon unless the Russian Federation also agrees upon it. And they're saying it's just not happening. We've got to address the root causes and the root problems. Still, people are not addressing a lot of the issues that will linger. The language, the religion, the Nazism, the politics, the traditions. Can we do May 9th again? Decommunization, the military size. There's so many things. I mean, this is going to be months and months worth of negotiations. I get it. Everyone's excited. Witkoff and Dmitriev are going back and forth and trying to figure this out. But the main thing is that there's a lot of things at play and business won't solve it. Now, of course, it is very possible, and I think that this is something that we should start to consider, that the U.S. basically, as we said before and predicted in the summer, the U.S. could basically throw off Europe and throw off Ukraine and basically say, you guys deal with it. This is now your war. And the problem with that, is it is more likely that the Americans reach a compromise and a settlement with the Russians, try to renegotiate a bilateral relationship. The Europeans invest themselves heavily in Ukraine, and we could see a continental style war that we haven't seen since the First and Second World Wars. And that means Macron and Germany and some other countries sending troops. We had, of course, the death of a British serviceman in Ukraine. Of course, they're trying to bill it as this serviceman was just providing technical support to a new weapon system. There are boots on the ground right now of NATO countries in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We've been all along. The problem is that since those floodgates are open, they're trying to ramp it up now. And I think that that's the thing that we should watch out. We should watch out for Zelensky basically being overthrown by the US and, okay, this is a European problem and the Europeans deepening. And that's why Lavrov said, which was shocking because it's the language that I use, you use, Chabo, so many others, but basically said Europe is heading towards a Fourth Reich. The European Union is becoming the Fourth Reich. And that is ultimately the truth. It's what we've said all along, that Ursula von der Leyen acts like a Führer more than she does someone responsible to the sovereign states of Europe within a confederation that is trying to take care of its people first. Not happening. So that's what we should... I don't see any possibility of peace by Christmas. And I still think we're a long ways out from this being over.
I agree. And the historical illiteracy of Americans doesn't allow them to understand that liberalism is what backslides into fascism. That's why Ursula von der Leyen makes a perfect fascist. So exactly. Anyway, neither here nor there. Well, you said his name, Beetlejuice. Speaking of Che Bose, I guess you got to hang out with him. Well, whatever. Here's a clip from that.
Hey, everybody. Just meeting my good old pal here, Chris. He's trying to grow a beard. I don't know. It's not going very well for him. But one thing is going well for him is after joining the Victor Borland's club. So thanks to our friends in Kiev. Cheers. Welcome to the club, Chris.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
I think Shay also took me to that bar, if I remember correctly. That must be where Shay takes all the states.
That's the hangout.
Oh, yeah, because I still know Shay Bose. He's the Irishman in Moscow. He's
Follow Shay. Follow Shay. We love him.
We love Shay. He's very fun. He's our Guinness chugging best friend.
He is. And, you know, we had a lot of fun. We were talking a lot about, you know, basically what's happening on the ground, you know, kind of analyzing how things are. I mean, he's more of the opinion that things might be coming to an end sooner. I'm of the opinion that it's going to be in the medium term to long term, but we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot of moving parts. One never knows. History has a strange way of, you know, concluding things fast and dragging things out in the long term. Who knows? But the main thing is that the action continues. Russia is advancing on the battlefield, and now it's being admitted by the Western press that they are taking territory, unlike any other point since the beginning when they were able to rapidly advance into a lot of that territory to begin with. So I think we're going to see a lot of things coming up here.
Well, more importantly, congratulations. How did you find out that Ukraine wanted to kill you officially? I mean, they've wanted to kill us for a long time, but officially want to kill you.
I mean, someone forwarded me, TASS actually published it live on Russian media that I, an American journalist, was being targeted and on the kill list and all this stuff. And so they posted it. I wasn't even aware of this. And so they put the link up there. I found the link. Our producer was able to send me the link. And it was It was wild. It was wild. And then it went all over the media. I had a lot of support from people here. Thanks, you know, shout out to Anastasia Udaltsova, who's a Duma member, who posted it on her personal channel. And, you know, I know her personally. There's a picture of us together on Mirotvorets. So, of course, solidarity. She's also on there, too. So we got the whole crew. But basically, the messages I've been receiving have been a lot of congratulations. And, you know, it's a very honorable thing. I feel very honored to be on it and to be targeted by the Ukrainian fascist regime. However, of course, everyone's saying, you know, you got to be safer. You got to be more careful. You know, there's some wackos out there. You know, people have killed people on this list. So I'm just taking precautions and being careful as I normally am. But I want to say Russia's winning. Crimea is Russia. Novorossiya is Russia. Hopefully we'll free Odessa and then connect with Prednestrovi. And we're on the move. And
just be smart. Don't take any bags from anybody. Like,
any bags.
No gifts, no bags, no nothing. My God. Man, these Ukrainians are terrifying. Well, I mean, and there he is. If you guys want to go check it out.
How they got my birthday, I don't know, but that's very nice. Now everybody messaged me and we're like, now we know your birthday, we can send you gifts. I'm like, oh, I'm always accepting of gifts, but now I gotta put
we didn't need a birthday to give out gifts.
I know. But I mean, they put some nice pictures on there. Thanks very much. You know, I don't know what all the crosses mean. I don't know if you, what are all those, like all that stuff underneath? I have no idea what it means. Maybe somebody's, you know, can decrypt it, but like, what is all that stuff under the
code picture? Underneath it? Yeah, I don't know.
Is that like, do the colors mean something? Like, is this like some like secret language to like Ukrainian operatives in like foreign Azov battalion? I don't know. It's
speaking like runes.
Exactly. It's like, you know, oh, we are pagan, you know?
Retarded. Anyway, speaking of seizing ships, I guess the United States is getting desperate as well. They seized a sanctioned oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. It's like literally, like I joked and said, sponsored by Disney. Like, this is ridiculous. I thought this was about fentanyl.
No, it's, and you know how quickly Americans forget. They're like, we're going to go fight the drugs. And then all of a sudden it's like, actually we're seizing oil. Why are we seizing this oil ship? Oh, because it's against sanctions. You see, they always fall for it. United States fell for it again.
Well, and you know, and on that topic, I just want to bring up this story as well. Maria Machado was presented with her Nobel Peace Prize. Her daughter accepted it for her on her behalf, but she's on her way to Oslo anyway. Now, I thought that Maduro was a terrible, heinous, evil, monstrous dictator. How the hell is, I didn't even know she was in Venezuela this whole time. I thought she was somewhere else. She's been in Venezuela just running her mouth, just planning to overthrow the president, and Maduro just lets her hang out. Well, now she's been they're saying she's been smuggled out of the country by, and literally in the article it says Maria Machado is being smuggled out of the country to head to Oslo to grab her award with the help of members of the Venezuelan government and U.S. government. So if she's being helped by the Venezuelan government, how is she being smuggled out?
The whole thing, I mean, they're losing themselves in their own narratives, and they're like, they're actually hanging themselves with all this rope. But it's unbelievable that people refer to Venezuela as some authoritarian dictatorship when I go to Venezuela and literally the opposition is just like out and about.
It's literally like they have more freedom than like most any country, almost as much as the United States. She's literally planning a coup.
Probably more than the United States.
She's planning to go online with Bibi Netanyahu, and Maduro's like, well, okay. Like, it's just crazy.
Wild. It's wild.
And also on the topic of Latin America, news coming out this week. You guys know that we are very, we are covering the Isaac Accords very in depth here. This will be Costa Rica will most likely be the next one that goes in. And El Salvador. And then today, just before we came on stream, Bolivia announced the renewal of diplomatic relations. This is very important. And if you guys go read the post, I posted it up, the full text, you can see at the United States will do a coup in Bolivia. It'll hold for a year or less. And during that year or less, they'll establish relations with Israel. And then the indigenous or the socialists will come back into power, just like, because that's who's voted for. And then they'll take the diplomatic relations away. well, now we're in a period of a U.S. sympathetic government, which I think was actually elected. He's a little bit like centrist right, I believe, corporatist. And so now, so I would expect to see Bolivia enter into the Isaac Accords as well. Bolivia, El Salvador, Costa Rica, maybe Honduras in the next group.
I'm going to have to say, and I hate to say it, we're seeing the end of the pink tide. We're seeing a reorientation of the United States' foreign policy and military policy in Latin America again. So basically, if we think about it, we had the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s heavy American presence in Latin America as well. War on communism, Cold War, all of it. After that, a shift more towards Eastern Europe, Central Asia, Middle East, North Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa. And then we had the pivot to the Pacific. And now with all of the stuff being embroiled, but also with the war nearing its conclusion in Eastern Europe, NATO expansion having increased even more, by the way, and the Zionist regime having tremendous power, Syria having fallen, Gaddafi fell, Saddam fell, Afghanistan fell. Now it's back again, but in a different situation. I think that the US is basically saying, okay, now is the time to focus on our hemisphere again. So everything's moving back to that region. And now with Bolivia falling, with Lula not as powerful as he once was and not as radical and revolutionary, with a lot of issues, and also with Venezuela under siege, Cuba, I'm sorry to say, I talked to a great comrade who's in Cuba right now and basically said, look, situation has not been worse since the 90s. Like, situation is rough in Cuba. And so it's being strangled. Cuba is being strangled by the US right now. And because of the situation, there's a lot of issues with getting the help that it needs. So Cuba, Venezuela, the only one that seems out of the troika of tyranny is Nicaragua that seems to be doing well, because nobody's paying attention to Nicaragua necessarily. But once attention goes there, you'll see a whole bunch of stuff happening there. We remember, of course, the regime change operation, the fighting on the streets, you name it. Ortega's an authoritarian dictator, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is kind of quieted down. It's going to come back again. Guarantee. I'm putting on the hat for conspiracy minute here. Nicaragua's next on the list. Get ready to hear a lot about Ortega, and the Contra stuff's going to come back up, and the ghost of Elliot Abrams is going to come back. Oh, and we're going to see the whole thing again.
Nicaragua, make sure you guys follow Benjamin Rubenstein. He lives in Nicaragua. He's a great journalist, and he is a lover of Ortega and has met him more than once. So yes. If you want like follow a thesis, Ben. Follow Ben. He's down there in Nicaragua. I had something else. Peru has now agreed. Now, guys, Peru also had an indigenous president. If you guys have been following the channel for a while, you may remember I was the president of his fan club and had the president of the fan club for his hat. Anyway, they got rid of Pedro and they put in it's always a female in these Latin American countries. It was Añez in Bolivia. I can't remember her name in Peru, but she has now given permission for the United States to utilize their territory to launch attacks on Venezuela.
Yep. There we go. I'm telling you, we are now moving from the pink tide to, I don't know what we would call it, the black tide I don't know what they would call it, but we're going back into that scenario again of 1970s, you know, Pinochet type people coming back with, you know, a little bit more modern. They're using Bitcoin. They're using this, they're using that. But you're going to see a whole new wave of sort of the more authoritarian pro-US, pro-Zionist crew that comes in there and attacks leftists, attacks Palestine, pro-Palestine people, attacks pro-indigenous people. You're going to see it all. It's coming.
I keep wanting to stress to the viewers that I don't know who's aligning to who or if they just are colliding on a perfect course, but the Israeli foreign policy and the United States foreign policy now perfectly align, especially when it comes to Latin America. Israel and the United States are both on the same page in terms of getting out of Europe. Go read Israel's policy papers. They are done with Europe. They're done. They say it's too brown. It's too Muslim. We've taken everything we could. It's not safe for us anymore. Blah, 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 blah. So they're focusing now on Latin America, and Africa will be next. They have their two projects in the Middle East and Central Asia, and now they have their thing in Latin America, which is moving incredibly fast. I can't get over how fast it's moving. And then they'll have one for Africa. It's just, it's like people are saying Pax Judaica. That's what it is. It's Pax Judaica.
I'm going to continue my conspiracy minute and say that. We're going to put it back on. And say that, and it's not a kippa, it's here. Okay, we know. I'm going to say that the entire evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic movement over the past decades was preparing the groundwork for this moment. Old Testament, the Jews are the chosen people, Israel is the nation of the Bible, all that stuff comes from that wing of Christianity. So basically, the missionizing in traditional Catholic countries to convert large segments of the population towards evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic Christianity, all of which are Christian Zionist, prepared the groundwork for the Isaac Accords that we see today. I'm going to say it. I believe it's true. I believe that there's a strong evidence and corollary through history about this. And I just want to say that the same thing has happened in Africa, where a lot of missionaries have gone to preach, and we should be aware that wherever evangelical Christianity has gone with the support of the United States, that has paved the way for Zionism as well to enter the equation.
Half of these evangelical preachers are funded by Jewish, Israeli, or Zionist money. We talked about it in depth on our last Wednesday episode, I believe, or maybe it was last Sunday. But yeah, guys, go back to that episode if you want to know about more of the Zionist projects in Latin America. And then we won't go into in depth, but we also had an almost coup in Benin, against the French-backed government, who's also Zionist-backed.
Yep.
So they're making sure they keep a hold on to Africa as well. So pay attention to the Global South, really. Really, they're kind of putting the Abraham Accords on a little bit of a back burner. They're saying, go F yourself, Europe. And they're really moving full steam ahead with the Isaac Accords. Maybe it's because this is very easy, or just the momentum's really good right now, or I'm not sure, but they're falling like dominoes. It's quite scary.
They need propaganda wins. They need Hasbara. And I think that we should report, I don't think we've talked about it yet, the Knesset passed a massive budget. A massive budget for soft power. I mean, we're going to see Hasbara like we've never seen it before at this point. I think the total was somewhere in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
$725 million.
Oh, it's like that's almost $750 million of $1 billion, basically. You know, I mean, we're talking about an enormous sum of money that's going to be used to basically propagandize, to whitewash, pinkwash, greenwash, however you want to say, and then to promote influencers, streamers, and those types to basically say, Israel's so great. You know, you're going to have multiple sites. I guarantee you this is how it's going to happen. You're going to have one part of the streamers and influencers that are going to say, Israel's so great. It's a free society. You can come suck and fuck whoever you want, and life is amazing. And that's it. And they have that kind of style. You have another side that's going to be, it's the queer capital of like the whole Eastern Mediterranean, Middle East. Come here, enjoy yourselves. We have gay parties and gay raves. You're going to have another one that's going to say it's traditional and conservative. And we have the settlers and they got like 10 kids each. And we're rebuilding the Jewish people. You have another one to say, oh, it's a liberal democratic society. We also have Arab Israelis. How wonderful. And you saw this kind of like, they try to like use Palestinian Christian videos and say how wonderful Israeli society is. And meanwhile, it's in Bethlehem, you know, I mean, come on, these Palestinian Christians. You're going to see all of these narratives simultaneous and hitting different demographics. You're going to have the Israelis who are like, I'm in India learning about, you know, yoga and getting and opening my chakras and how horrible it was at the damage that was done to the Jewish people. And we need to heal ourselves and we need to decolonize our minds. And that means they are using that language. It's fucked up. I'm sorry. It's crazy that they're using this kind of stuff. But that's what's happening. Beware that a lot of the liberal kind of like woke language, the critical theory, that stuff is being used by them and reverse engineered to justify Zionism. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, there's a lot of inversion going on. We went over it. You weren't here on Sunday, but we went over the inversion of how Alex Karp inverts things. He will say, I'm a progressive and I fight for the working class. And then he's like, I kill people with drones. And you're like,
what?
Like, it's like just the kind of redefining of words. And even Lavrov has gotten pissed off about it. He said recently he threatened people that are trying to change the history of World War II.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So this weird inversion and the changing of meanings of words. Words have meaning, damn it.
They do. And we believe that here. Yeah. We believe that here on DD Geopolitics. Words have
meaning. Words have meaning.
Words have meanings.
Well, anyway, that's about all I have for you guys. Make sure you try to read Huntington if you're American, called Who Are We? Also, we are in talks to start a series of webinars, probably sometime after the new year, which will be stuff where we really, really focus on teaching topics that people need to understand. I think I'm really going to try to do the first one will be multipolarity, because nobody knows what the hell it means. They think multipolarity means like everybody's in charge at once or something. I don't know what they think, but they think it's like anarchy. Anyway, we will be back on Sunday. Our producer will have better service, and so we'll have a better feed. But other than that, any final thoughts from Moscow, Chris?
Listen, I'm going to say keep your eyes on what's happening on the front line. Keep your eyes on the Black Sea. Keep your eyes on some of the negotiation, but a lot of that is just, you know, cover. Watch what's going on in Europe. Europe is the real indicator. Watch what's going on in Brussels, in Paris, in Berlin, in London. And also keep your eyes on Venezuela. They need the attention right now. We need to defend Venezuela from this upcoming possible attack. It looks like it's cooling down. I'm going to have to say it's not as high level. I mean, today it got much more aggressive with this tanker. But over the past few days, it seemed to have quieted down a little bit. It wasn't as aggressive. We'll see what happens. That could be the calm before the storm. But in any case, keep your eyes for that. Shall we go now to the super chats?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Bless up to you too, and happy holiday season. Thank you for always tuning in, Joseph. And thank you for being a member. Guys, please consider becoming a member of our YouTube. I'm figuring out what the features are, but I'm going to like work on discounts for the merch store and like maybe some exclusive stuff. I'm learning. Give me a bit. Okay. I said the one episode we needed help and I only got one email. So you're going to have to bear with me. I don't know what this means, Chris.
It's tell Chris Kalimera from Armenia.
Kalimera.
Good morning. Good day. You know, from Armenia. Thank you so much. Shout out to our wonderful Armenian community. I want to say, when I was in Crimea, I was able to see some very beautiful, historic Armenian churches in Crimea. It was beautiful. We got to travel around Byzantine churches, Armenian churches, very warmly received by the Armenian community as always. Of course, those who know, I fought under an Armenian commander in Syria, one of the greatest heroes of recent Armenian history. So I want to say shout out to Armenia, shout out to our Armenian brothers and sisters out there. And we are in solidarity with all of you, especially after the treachery of Pashinyan and that whole crew. So we continue to support Armenia and its independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity.
Hummus, thank you as always, and also for being a member. Oh, and Jor is a member as well. And here, Wombat is now doing it. I think you could get with Wombat and he can help you decipher.
There we go.
Underneath your death certificate or whatever that is, your death warrant. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week. Oh, here come the Armenians now. There's Vaughn.
Oh, here we go.
They don't have any of the noodle letters, though. You got to do your ramen letters. Anyway, guys, have a good rest of your week, and we will see you on Sunday, as usual. Have a good one. See you then.
Take care.